Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe podcast, and I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And in this week's segment, Behind the Words, we tackle the quotation, "A man sees in the world what he carries in his heart," by Goethe. Peter, give us your first thoughts on this.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Good to share this forum, by the way, with you and Frank. I appreciate you guys because you always make me elevate my game. And if you, dear audience, also appreciate these guys, you can show us by subscribing. Well, you know what'd be really nice? Right out of the box, just a quick video selfie of you telling people how amazing we are. Well, what a train wreck we are, either one, good or bad, and send it to us or post it or do both. And if you want to see what other people are saying about us, theroadaheadcafe.com. And if you haven't discovered already, you can choose to see our smiling faces on our YouTube channel. So in today's segment of Behind the Words, we're trying to figure out what the heck this German guy Goethe meant when he wrote this line. So I looked up the quotation to find the context for what Goethe was saying. It's supposed to be in his play, Faust, Part 1, line 179. Now, I don't understand German, but apparently neither does anyone else. I found six different translations of line 179 into English, and none of them came out, "A man sees in the world what he carries in his heart." David Reed's translation of the German, for example, is, "Each sees the working of his heart laid bare." It sounds completely different to me. So I have no idea who actually decided that this was a quotation from Goethe, but I'm very glad my co-conspirators, Rick and Frank, are here and have my back, because I have a feeling that you're going to hear me just floundering around like I'm lost and stumbling through a mist-filled marshland. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Frank, what are your first thoughts about this quote?
Well, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, born in Frankfurt am Main in Germany in 1749 and died in 1832, supposed to be one of the greatest German writers. George Eliot called him, quoting this from Wikipedia, "German greatest man in letters and the last true polymath walked on earth." Goethe's work spans a lot of fields of interest like poetry, drama, literature, theology, humanism, and science. And Goethe's Magnus Opus, as they call it, lauded as one of the peaks of world literature, is the two-part drama Faust. So I also looked up this quotation, and I couldn't find it. Also, so but what is Faust all about? That's interesting. Just to update a little bit about this quotation. Faust Part 1 takes place in multiple settings, the first of which is heaven. The demon called Mephistopheles makes a bet with God. He says that he can lure God's favorite human being, Faust, who is striving to learn everything that can be known away from righteous pursuits. So actually, he's trying to trick him. God does that because he needs the devil in this context, because he knows that people want to be lured in something that actually couldn't be done or something bad, and then rejoice and feel again connected with the real work, God's work. So actually the play is all about this. And you know, Faust gets very frustrated in his work, and at one moment the devil kicks in. So that's actually the story in Part 1. Part 2 is a little bit different, but I leave it here. The interesting thing is, a man sees in the world what he carries in his heart. As a quotation, it is fascinating, because I think if we look closely to that quotation, we find something in our hearts what we'd love to share, or not. I will tell more about this later on. Rick.
Thank you, Frank. That's terrific. What a teaser. Wow. I'm already in anticipation. So this is my take. I'm going to take a slightly different look at this. I'll be going at this quote from a scientific angle for you. Did you know that your heart can actually speak? Stick around and I'll explain in a few minutes. Peter, you want to go a little bit deeper with this quote? What have you got?
We could just skip me and get right to how the heart speaks. Yeah. Now, we see in the world what we carry in our heart. All right, let's forget what Goethe himself was trying to mean. I wouldn't even be able to understand somebody of that genius. I already have difficulty understanding Frank and Rick. And let's just see about the quotation itself. I think it's wrong. Now you've heard my opinion. Let's move on to Frank and Rick. No, I'm kidding. This is what I mean. I don't think we see the world or in the world what's in our heart. I think we see in the world what's in our head. Specifically, how we see what's going on in the world is determined by how our brain happened to get wired over the course of our lives. There's a lot going on in the world and we can't consciously take it all in. So our brain chooses what to focus on and organizes how we see the world by doing this. And how does it decide how to select and organize what's going on in the world in order to form our own personal worldview? Well, back in 1968, a UCLA anthropology student, Carlos Castaneda, published a book about his apprenticeship to a Yaqui Indian sorcerer, Don Juan. And what Don Juan said, the Yaqui way of looking at it, was that society teaches us to see the world in a certain way to domesticate us from being wild little children. It teaches us what to pay attention to and what to ignore. And at a certain point, we no longer need our caregivers, authority figures, and influences to correct us and keep us in this dream. We do it to ourselves. And that's a poetic way of saying your brain gets wired in a certain way as you grow up. It holds a set worldview. And your inner voice reinforces that perspective. So you see in the world the worldview that you carry in your head. In high school, my friend Al and I were really into the magical world as described by Carlos Castaneda. Was it possible to break through society's programmed view of the world and perceive magical beings of power? Don't judge me, we were teenagers. So we set off into the heart of the woodlands surrounding our neighborhood, seeking a meeting with power. And after a fruitless day of searching, having waited expectantly while watching the sunset, waiting for something to happen, we were on our way back to the mundane world, and it was that time that cannot be claimed by either the day or the night, that time that the ancients called the gloaming, twilight. And in the distance, we saw a figure leading a donkey coming towards us. We quickly sensed that this was no ordinary man. Could this be an otherworldly being? Could this be our meeting with power? Because there was definitely something strange about him. And as we got closer, we realized he wasn't actually coming towards us. He was standing incredibly still, waiting for us to come to him. Our approach slowed. We weren't sure we were ready for this encounter, especially as we couldn't really make out who or what was waiting for us. And so we were within a few yards of him, and then we realized what we were dealing with. A bush, a tree. That's all it was. You can talk yourself into seeing what isn't there. Your brain, your inner voice can talk you into seeing what's there. What's there in the world, what you see is what's carried in your brain. In one experiment, the subject correctly described what was before him, but he kept hearing other people in the room describe something completely different. They were in on the trick, by the way. And that made the subject change his mind until he became convinced that he saw something that wasn't really there. And in police work, authorities know that eyewitnesses are a blessing and a curse because the psychology of the person and the nature of what they see can help or hinder in a case. And even when we think we're just describing facts, nothing but the facts, we're not, because we're only describing those facts that our brain has chosen to collect. And that selection itself is based upon our world, our brain's worldview. I pour glass water into a glass to the halfway mark. Is it half empty? Is it half full? Our brain focuses on what supports our worldview. I didn't pay much attention to cars, for example, until I decided to buy a new one. I started looking. I saw a really cool SUV parked outside the place I worked. I'd never seen this model before. I went over and found out, oh, it's a Hyundai Santa Fe. I bought one. And then a very weird but common thing happened. Everywhere I went, there was Santa Fe's, Hyundai Santa Fe's. Was there a sudden rush? Everybody suddenly bought the same car I bought? No, it's sort of confirmation bias. I bought the car, but did I buy the right choice? Yeah, look, everyone's driving it. The brain decided what I saw outside. It's not what's in your heart you see in the world. It's what's in your head. And does the world seem filled with desperate, anxious people and problems? That's your brain paying selective attention to those type of people. In fact, there's a neural brain marker called the error-related negativity marker, or ERN, and your ERN fires up whenever your brain encounters possible errors or sources of uncertainty. And that leads you to notice more things that might be going wrong. If a person has a large ERN, it's indication of a hypervigilant brain that's constantly on the lookout for potential problems, even when no problem exists. What researchers found, Nelson, 2017, was that when you could reduce the ERN, curb the tendency to see threats, all you had to do this was to get them to focus on something else. When given a seemingly innocuous task of identifying smiles in photos or counting smiles during the day, subjects felt less anxious and saw less threats, and the ERN markers actually decreased. So without trying to argue rationally to yourself, no, the world's safer than you think or less hostile, without trying to make yourself feel love for others, just paying non-judgmental attention to one thing, being mindful, in other words, you can change your perception of the world. So if your daily life right now, your reality seems rather gloomy, full of threats, you may be looking at a bush, and what you're seeing in the world is what you're carrying in your head. The good news is, there are many strategies you can adopt to help you change that. One is mindful pathfinding. It's what you do when you don't know what to do. And you can find out about it at mindfulpathfinding.com. Now, wake up, because Frank and Rick are about to enlighten you. Back to you, Rick.
Terrific stories, Peter. Wow, that's some powerful stuff. You got me excited. Frank, what do you have to share on this?
Well, I think... Peter, we should all be out of our mind. Just get crazy. And that's one of the things, not getting crazy, but be out of your mind is, of course, what many gurus are telling us. We should drop our mind. But anyway, if we look at this, I think, still wonderful quotation, a man sees in the world what he carries in his heart. If that is true, what do you carry in your heart? Think about it for a moment. Think about the metaphor, not literally. What do you carry in your heart? Is it love or is it fear? Is it forgiveness or revenge? Is it the feeling of abundance or lack? Is it gratefulness or an appreciation? Is it peacefulness or anger? And many more. What do you carry and what do you see? Of course, you use your brain, and you also use your mind, which can, of course, what Peter says, block the way you see it. It's like a fog you're driving through. And sometimes, you know, when fogs open and then you see pieces of the road quite clearly, and then again, you drive into the fog, something like that might happen to you and also to your brain and what happens in your life regarding what you carry in your heart. Yeah. So your heart symbolizes, for example, love, compassion, peace, pleasantness, joy, forgiveness, grace, gratitude, and much more. Do you see that in the world? If that's the case, do you see that in the world? You can carry all these wonderful qualities in your heart, but are you aware of them? And if so, are you showing them in your behavior? Well, there are three ways to find out what you carry in your heart, or what Peter says, what you have on top of your mind, what you really think of, what you really experience. The first way is be aware what inspires you to do good. reach out to someone who is in need, for example, help your neighbor, something very simple to open a door when he's carrying a lot of groceries and so on. Very simple things. Observe what you think, what you feel, and what you do in that moment. Number two, ask constructive and honest feedback to find your blind spot. People see things you are not aware of. We talked about it in a previous episode, and it's the Johari window. Psychologists Joseph Lufton and Harry Ingram invented that in 1995. And if you look at that scheme, a part of it is other people know you, and you don't see things regarding yourself. It's called the blind self. Information about you that you don't know, but others do know. Ask for honest, fair feedback. It helps you to discover your blind self, your blind spots, and see also where the action is. What kind of things you represent by doing good, by feeling well, or not. You know, the opposite is also possible. And number three, what makes you happy when someone says to you, says something to you? What makes you happy when you hear, for example, the wonderful words people like the most, "I love you"? What happens to you? It resonates with your deepest feelings. "I love you" is a wonderful statement. Everybody loves, literally. So it resonates deep in your heart somewhere. And what resonates is also something what you need, but also something what you can give. So when you reach out and people say to you, "I love you," and it helps you and makes you smile and gives you a great feeling, you can also give that back. So these three things might help you to find out what you really care about and what you really find important related to this saying, "A man sees in the world what he carries in his heart." Rick, it's your turn.
Great stuff, Frank. Wow, you guys are bringing it. Here's what I'm thinking. Did you know that your heart can actually speak? It has its own language called cardioneuroimmunology. And this new science, it's really about 20 years old, but this new science shows that our hearts actually talk to other hearts, even at great distances. That's why your heart aches when loved ones are far away from you, because they're actually talking and they feel that distance. So with regard to what Goethe said, or maybe just kind of phrased in a different way, whatever thoughts and feelings that you're carrying or holding in your heart or in your head, as Peter suggested, anyone else can read those. So let me ask you, now that you know this, what would you prefer to carry in there? Like Frank said, try love, kindness, understanding. In my book, The Currency of Connection, I do cover this topic because it has a lot to do with the energy of communication and connection. Because long before we ever see a person or we ever encounter a person, we're speaking to their hearts. So before you even enter the room, the hearts are communicating and they're telling each other yes or no. Alignment, misalignment. She's for me, she's not. So there's a judgment already going on. The hearts are speaking and they're making decisions without us. What happens when we enter the room and then the eyes catch up and the brain catches up and says, "Oh, he or she is my type. This is someone who I don't really look like I like," or something. The hearts have made these decisions long before the brain. And as a matter of fact, from an energetic standpoint, the heart is, I believe it's 600 times more powerful than the brain. That's the good news. So whatever you are carrying in your heart, if you are carrying something in there, it's communicating without you. You don't need to try to avoid it or control it in any way. As a matter of fact, it is the truest, most honest part of us. And that's why they call it the heart. And so the good news today is that after you hear what Peter and Frank are going to close us with, maybe you can make some decisions about letting go of all of this thinking and just let your heart be the leader. Peter, back to you. Why don't you close us out?
Very beautiful. Yeah. When you see no solution to a problem, when you see only things to fear in the world, it's because of what your brain is carrying, self-limiting, fear-based beliefs. And you can change all that, as we discussed in episode 9, actually change your thoughts, change your life. Check that episode out. Or you can just keep coming back each week to spend a few minutes with Frank, Rick, and me, and your heart and your head will thank you for it. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Peter. Frank, what are your final comments on this?
Well, I often say it in this podcast, what you think about and think about, you bring about. You can only do that, to my understanding, when it is heartfelt, when it is really true, when people sense it. And Rick, what you just referred to, the neuroscience and how the heart sends out the energy and feel, and you can feel it. People who have an open mind, but also have, are a little more sensitive, they feel what you're really feeling, what happens to you, to be sensitive and are sensitive to your real feelings. So again, I think what you think about and think about, you bring about. Please follow your heart and please follow the best things you have to offer to other people, because, and then we'll cover that in the next episode, it's not about me. A new subject, referring to this wonderful statement of Goethe. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. You and Peter are terrific examples too of, bringing that kindness and that warmth and, just really helpful ideas to our people. So thank you both for that. So my final thoughts on this, maybe even forgiveness. If, you're already trying love, kindness, and understanding, maybe holding some forgiveness in there could really make a big difference. Watch what happens. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, good people share good things with friends. So don't be shy. Let those you care about know about your trend-setting discovery of the Road Ahead Cafe. We look forward to getting together with you next week. Until then, savor your day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.